Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Pastor Jabin is more experienced in some of these things, so yeah. And once again, thanks for Pastor Jabin for inviting me here and your team. Indeed a privilege to be here. It's one of the best things that has happened to me this year to come and minister here. I bring you greetings from my home church. That's the Holy Trinity Anglican Church, where I am a lay leader. So I always share the word when asked. So before our sermon, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. So today, again, we are still in our series, Emotions from Reactions to Redemption. And over the past weeks, we've been sharing that. And as we have seen, emotions are part of how God really created us. They are not sinful. They are simply normal part of our human life. And looking at reaction to me is what really comes naturally after something has happened. So if something happened to me, how do I react? That's what I'm taking as the reaction. So when someone hurts us, we usually react with anger. When someone succeeds, we react at times with joy, at times with jealousy. And when life becomes uncertain, we do react with fear. But redemption is what God does with that reaction that we experience. God indeed does not suppress our emotions, but He transforms them. We see anger being transformed into forgiveness. Jealousy becomes contentment. And we see insecurity becoming confidence in Christ. And fear becomes faith. Today, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at fear as one of those common emotions that we have amongst the many. Today we all have so many things that we fear, lots of stuff that we do fear. Even as we are seated here, something is going on in our brain. There is something that each of us is fearing. Some people fear losing their jobs. The parents really fear for their children. You know, when my children were still small, I had my own fears for that. Even when they are grown, I have fears for them. And so many young people here fear, failure. We don't know what is going to happen in the future. So we do have that fear. Fear is not only to a few, even the older people. Fear, declining health. We don't know how our health will be the following day or years. And many fear loneliness. So all these are emotions that come. And as we read in our readings from Isaiah and the Gospel, St. Mark, these two readings were written centuries apart, like over 700 years apart, the two books. But they all mention one thing, and they all both ask, what do we need to do when fear takes hold of our hearts? These books are centuries apart, but they are all talking about one thing. And the answer to all of them is it points us to God's presence. When fear captures our hearts, where do we go? It all points us to God's presence. And if God is present in our lives, then this can transform the fear that we have into faith. As we read in the Gospel of St. Mark, and just a brief about this Gospel, it's one of the central themes in Mark's Gospel, is the question about who Jesus is. Again and again, people encounter him in the midst of life's storms. And their great fear is they are all asking who Jesus is. So in our Gospel readings, in Mark 4:35, as we heard, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over the other side." Jesus is telling his disciples, "Let us go over the other side." So we see here that the person who is actually initiating this journey to cross to the other side is Jesus. He initiates this, and the disciples do obey. They just move. And then what happens after this? The storm arrives. As it says, a furious squall came up, and the wave broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. As we can imagine, this was not an ordinary storm. Remember, Jesus has asked the disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." And at the same time, the storm arrives, and everyone was scared. I imagine this Sea of Galilee was known for sudden, violent winds. But many of these disciples, I'm sure they were seasoned fishermen, and they knew about all these disciples. But when the storm came, what was actually happening? The storm did not come simply because these disciples disobeyed Jesus. The storm came, hit these disciples, the boat, when they were actually obeying Jesus. They were with Jesus. He was the one who asked them to go over the other side. So what does this tell us about these storms? We are seeing that these storms actually had no limits. They can come to anyone. The storms do not discriminate. The storms came when actually Jesus was in the boat. He ordered these people, "Let us cross the other side." And when we are talking about Jesus, we know who Jesus was. But why would the storm come when Jesus is actually there? Jesus had all the power. So my brothers and sisters, the storms do not discriminate. Today, our storms are different. In that time, it was the winds that were blowing the boats. Today, our storms do wear different clothes. The storms could be the diagnosis about your health. The storm could be the financial pressure that we may be facing. The storm could be a struggling marriage that we may be facing. It may be anxiety or grief, loneliness or addiction. It could just be uncertainty. Those are the storms that we have today as compared to that time at the Sea of Galilee. It could be a child who has gone astray and the parent is just having that storm. And these storms come to everyone. They come to the rich. They come to the poor. They attack the believers. And indeed, the greatest storms do come to those who are carrying the greatest responsibilities. And this is why we need to keep praying for each other. It attacks those with greatest responsibilities. And those who are nearer and closest to the house of God, those who seem to be so close to God, they are not immune from these storms. They will attack. And so the lesson here is not that faithful people are immune to the storms. The people who were in the boat with Jesus, his disciples, were really faithful people, but the storm had to attack them. But this is a lesson that the storms will attack even the closest people of God. That's why we need to keep praying for each other. Pray for your leaders. You pray for everyone about these storms. And after this leads us to the deeper issue about the real fear that we have. My brothers and sisters, the real fear is not actually the storm. To these disciples, it was not the storm that was around them, but it was the storm that was inside them. The wind and the waves threatened the boat. But the fear that the disciples had inside them is what threatened their hearts. And as we read in Mark 4:38, what did these disciples say when the winds hit them? They shouted out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" But they did not ask teacher to, they didn't say, "Can you save us?" They did not tell Jesus to stop the storm. So the storm was external, and to one's eyes, they would be scared of the storm. But what comes out of them shows exactly what these disciples were fearing. What was their deepest fear? Their deepest fear here was abandonment. They thought really Jesus had abandoned them. That was the fear. It wasn't really the storm. And many of us today, we stand or have stood in that same place. That when the storm comes, when illness comes, we have stood in that place. When finances collapse, when our prayers seem unanswered, we may never say it aloud, but we always ask, "Does God care? Why is this happening to me? Has God forgotten me? Or why is God so silent? After all my prayers, they are not answered. Why isn't he silent?" Fear begins with the circumstances around us. But eventually, that fear starts talking to us. It keeps telling us, oh, you are alone. You are just on your own. Nobody understands you. Nobody cares. However much you pray, God has forgotten about you. That is fear talking to us. And so the greatest storm is often not around us, but is that thing that is within us. And that's why we must always listen to God's voice again and again and again. When we encounter fear, God is speaking to us, and we need to listen. The issue with these disciples in the boat was never the size of the storm. The issue was whether they trusted the one who had called them in the first place. So it wasn't really the storm. But these disciples were called by Jesus. He told them, let's cross to the other side. And he was with them in the boat. Fear grows when we focus on the storm. And as I said, we have different storms. At that time, it was the waves and the winds. Today, we have different storms that are around us. And so fear grows as we focus more on the storm. But faith grows when we focus on the person, on the one on the boat. These people had Jesus on the boat, but they focused on the storm, and they did not focus on the person who was with them on the boat. These disciples knew very well about the storms on the sea. They were seasoned fishermen. They had lived there for years, and they knew what exactly was happening. So, but because they didn't know who was with them on the boat, they were still learning. In this series, we see that these people were still learning about Jesus, much as they were disciples. They were still trying to understand who Jesus was. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 40, Jesus asks these disciples, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And here, Jesus was really not condemning them about not having faith. But he was teaching them who he was. They were still learning about Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, this fear of abandonment that the disciples had is not new. God's people have wrestled with this for generations and generations, as we see in the Bible. We see that long before Jesus calmed the storm, God had spoken through Isaiah to a fearful people. God has spoken and said, as we saw in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. So, who were these people Isaiah was talking to? Isaiah's audience was overwhelmed. They saw a powerful nation rising around them. They saw their future slipping out of their control. And they wondered if God had actually abandoned them. And in that fear, God speaks to them. What does he tell them? He says, fear not, for I am with you. as we see, God does not begin by removing their problems. He didn't tell them, oh, I'm your God, I'm taking away your problems. But he said, fear not, for I am with you. God begins by reminding them of his presence. God's first answer to the fear was not an explanation to them. God's first answer here was himself. He didn't start giving them stories of how they should change, what they should, but he was there. So that was God's answer, is by him being there. And that's what God gives us. And that truth of God's presence becomes flesh in Jesus Christ. And when God says, fear not, for I am with you, he actually proves it in Jesus. But how do we see this? The disciples feared for their lives. At that time when they were traveling, remember in the readings we saw that the disciples indeed believed that they would die. They didn't even think they would die, but they believed that we are gone. We are going to die. But Jesus was in the boat with them. They focused on the storm, but Jesus was present in the storm. They feared they would perish, but the Son of God was with them. This is one of the greatest truths of our faith, that God does not remain distant whenever suffering comes. And it's not only when we are suffering that we should say God doesn't remain distant. Even when we are thriving, God does not remain distant. We need God in all the situations. Again, I always share little stories. I have one simple story here. There was a man, the story of the man in the hole. So there was a man who was walking, and then he fell into a deep ditch. So he was there, and it was really so far away that he couldn't come out. So people were passing. The doctor passed around, looked down, saw the guy down there and said, oh, when you come out, I will treat you free of charge, and went. The lawyer walked by and said, oh, when you come out, I will represent you in court, and we sue the people who dug this ditch here for free. And then a preacher walked by, and the preacher said, saw him down there, and the preacher said, oh, I'll pray for you so that you come out of that ditch. And then one man came and saw him down there, and this man dived into that ditch, and the two of them were there. So this guy said, oh, how stupid could you be that you come in here? Now we are all stuck in here. We can't get out. But the other man responded and said, don't worry, my brother. I have been here before, and I know the way out. I'll take you out. What is the moral of this story? My brothers and sisters, that is the gospel that God wants us to fulfill. God did not just shout instructions from heaven. He actually, as this man did, God, he entered the hole, he entered the storm, He entered our world and he knows the way out. When these people were on the storm, when the storm came, Jesus was with them. Didn't just tell them what to do, he was there. Sometimes God calls us to be that man who was in that hole. God calls us to be that man, not because we have all the answers. Not because we can fix every problem, but because we have walked the road before. You know, you may know what it is like to be afraid, to face that storm, being afraid. And you have a brother or sister who is going through that. You know what it is to grieve. Someone is grieving. You know what it is like to feel alone. And you know what it is like to be overwhelmed. So God today wants you to use that story. Because you have walked the journey. Because you have felt those scars. You have felt that fear. God wants to use you as a staircase or as a ladder to help that person who has gone through that. God wants you to help that person to climb. He wants you to climb into someone's hole and say, I have been there before. I know the way out. And sometimes people do not need advice. They do not need lectures. All they need is presence, is your presence for them. They need someone who will not run away from the storm, like how we see Jesus did when they were on that boat. That is what Jesus does for us. And that is what he calls us to do for one another. As we saw in Mark 38, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on the cushion. And the disciples thought the storm was the biggest thing in their lives. But the biggest reality in that boat wasn't the storm. It was Jesus. Fear. So we see, what we fear is the storm that is around us. We see our problems. We look at the uncertainty. And then we forget the person in the boat. We forget that we have God with us. We forget that we have the presence of God. And then when these people were all struggling, what did Jesus say? He just got up and said, quiet, be still. Immediately the wind stopped. It's the person who was with them in the boat. The winds, all the waves calmed down. And so the storm came and taught these people about Jesus. Remember, they asked, who is this? Who can do this? That even the winds and everything calm down when he shouts. So the storm taught them who Jesus was. And as we read in Isaiah 41:10, this echoes the same truth. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's what Jesus says. God does not promise a storm-free life. God doesn't say, we shall not go through problems. God doesn't say we'll have no storms. the storms will be there. The storms will come. They'll wear different clothes. But what God says, despite all these comings, despite the different storms, the fears that we have, he promises, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you in all that. And because Jesus is in the boat, the storm does not have the final word. It will not have that final word. And if you remember nothing else today, you should remember this, that Jesus is in the boat with us. How do we transit fear in today's world? How do we move? How do we transit from fear to faith in this world today? Fear was with the disciples at that time. That their reaction was fear. But Jesus transformed their faith, their fear, into faith. Today, we are living in a world full of storms, as I've explained. Economic uncertainty, rising anxiety, broken relationships, violence as we see every day, loneliness, and a future that is unpredictable. People are so afraid, and many things to fear. But here is what you as church must know today. As Christians, we are never in that storm alone. Just know that the storms are there, the fear is there, but we are never in that alone. Jesus is still in the boat, that boat which is being attacked by the storms today. His presence is still stronger than the waves. His voice still speaks. Peace be still, and his hand still upholds us. Jesus' promise still stands. He says, I am with you. So, church, whatever storm you may be facing, whatever keeps you at night awake, whatever weighs on your heart, whatever threatens your peace and causes it fear, just hear the words of God. Fear not, for I am with you. Not because the storm is small, and not because life is easy, and not because suffering is absent, but because of one thing: God is present. You are never alone in the storm. Jesus is with you. May fear give way to faith. May panic give way to trust. May the storm become the place where we discover who Jesus truly is, as the disciples on the boat. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know the storms we face. Speak your peace into our fear, strengthen our faith, and remind us that you are always with us. Calm our hearts as you calm the waves. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.